Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In case you haven't seen them, the Wire-to-Wire Upset Picks Challenge for week number 6 standings are up on our Facebook and our Twitter page. It is pinned as the top tweet on our account. And unfortunately, Facebook doesn't let you do that, so you're going to have to scroll down and find it. But it's right there. You're going to see it. It's there's only a couple things sitting on top of it. As of right now, Dave Mosley, I don't know what it is, Cole. Does he have a horseshoe up his rear end?
Does he
have some sort of a sports almanac that tells him who's winning? Because out of 7 weeks of picks, that's week 6 weeks of games and week 0 before that, he has hit 6 out of 7 times.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, we need to just start picking what he picks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just copy him.
Wait, we'll just wait. See, that's the problem is we give ours early and we don't wait for Dave Mosley and what he's picking.
That's
he's got 61.5 points, and that is so exceptional, Cole, because last year, and remember, you got the 12 weeks of games, you've got pre-Christmas bowls, you've got post-Christmas bowls, so that's, what, 14, 15-ish weeks of picks. Last year, the winning score was 85 points. And he is 24 points away from that right now.
Yeah.
And we're only on week 6, which that also, that's, I got so depressed yesterday. I was looking at this, I was like, man, we're in week 6 already.
Oh, it's terrible. How do you think I feel?
Through.
How do you think I feel with high school football? We're in week 7, and there's only 10 weeks. There's only a few weeks of high school football left. It's awful.
We got playoffs. Burns is going to make a run.
It doesn't last too long enough.
I
will say, regarding the Upset Picks Challenge, this is the first week of something. Do you know what that first is? Think hard.
Conference games?
Nope.
More conference games? I don't know.
No.
Double or nothing?
No. We have college games tomorrow.
Ooh.
Wednesday, Conference
Maction?
USA.
CUSA?
Yes. On a Wednesday, 2 games tomorrow. So
you can
get your pick in early,
man,
and lose early.
I feel bad. Honestly, I feel bad for those players that are playing in Conference USA. They got to play Wednesday night games.
Wednesday. And think
Mac
about this.
Plays Thursday night games, and there is nobody in October and November going to Wednesday night games in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
And here's the worst part. If you pick a Wednesday or even a Thursday game and lose, that bad feeling you have to wait until next Wednesday. You have to wait a whole week.
Yeah.
And there are 3-4 Thursday night games, and then there are 3 Friday games. So here's the only bad part, Diesel. When you look at the 2 Wednesday games, the spread on both games is 1.5. So I would say we don't have any Tolos.
Probably right. You're probably right.
Nobody's going to pick those.
There are a few like small spread games that I think some people might take, but I wouldn't take them unless you already have a lot of points, Cole. And one of those is Wake Forest at Oregon State plus 2.5 points. I just watched Oregon State play last week.
Horrible.
They're pretty bad. They're pretty
horrible.
But I mean, and they got a quality quarterback. What was his name? Played at Duke last year. If I hadn't had to think of it right off the top of my head.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Oh, what was his name? He went to where?
Malik Murphy.
Oregon State.
He was at Duke.
That's right.
He was at Texas before that. I mean, he is a tree. He is a redwood compared to all those players on that team. But they don't play a bad brand of football. I don't know how they play against everybody else because I don't think I've watched any Oregon State football this year, but they do a really great job playing that intermediate passing game, that anywhere between 7 and 15 yards. They were deadly. I mean, they were torching App State. Now, they don't have a particularly strong secondary either, but they were torching us on that play. Here's the thing, though. Wake Forest has to go all the way across the country to play at Oregon State. And think about what happened with Penn State, having to go all the way across the country to play at UCLA, and similar situation. UCLA had just fired a coach. Oregon State just fired their special teams coordinator.
Only difference, Diesel. Mm. The only difference is James Franklin's not the coach of Oregon State. And for that reason, they won't lose. Because if James Franklin was the coach, they'd lose the game.
Well,
you're right. And, it could be interesting.
Wake Forest is not a world beater this year. Come on. It's
Robbie Ashford
and the Fighting Demon Deacons going
they're not
across country, crossing multiple time zones. Again, that one's only worth 2.5 points, but out of all the games that I've looked at so far, and I haven't obviously looked at all of them, but I would say that might be the closest thing to a sure thing that's on this list, but it's just not worth that many points.
I'm glad you said sure thing because I've got a sure thing bet. However, it's not upset picks related, but on the sure thing note, before we get to the upset pick early leans, don't look. Right now, Alabama plays Missouri Saturday. Do you know the spread already for that game?
Alabama, Missouri. I don't know off
the
top of my
head. What would you guess?
Alabama at Missouri?
Uh-huh.
I would probably say Alabama favored by 3.5.
2.5.
Okay.
Give me that. That's my sure bet of the week. Give me Bama. 2.5.
Okay.
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Wow. Look how far you've come around
on
Kalen DeBoer.
I love that guy. I think he's the best coach ever. I wanted him fired 6 weeks ago, but I think he's the best coach ever. I really do. But here I am again, Diesel, looking at several games, having no idea where my early lean is. I've hit one time this year.
Well, I've hit two, so I'm doing
better.
100% better than you are.
You are.
Boomer,
I hate this challenge.
Boomer Bill says he's looking at – I hope you realize, Boomer Bill, that this is not a valid pick, and I hope that you're sending this in as an early lean. He's early leaning Arizona State plus 6.5 over Utah.
I don't think he is. I think
well,
he's
Boomer
picking.
Bill, you just know that's not a valid pick.
Not open
you
have tomorrow,
to
Bill.
Resend it tomorrow after 4:00. I've also looked, Cole, at here's a fun one, man. This might be the most adorable story in college football in 2025. Bowling Green and their Persian cat mascot named Pudge that is drawing thousands of fans to Bowling Green State University games. They are 2-0 since Pudge has been adopted as the team's unofficial mascot. The cat belongs to their long snapper, George Carlson. There was a story about it that I saw. I don't know if it was on game day or if I just saw it as a random ESPN app kind of story.
Yeah.
But somebody in his family passed away. I think it might have been his mom or his grandma. So he bought this cat to help him deal with it. So he started bringing the cat to games because the team needed a little bit of a spark or bringing it into the locker room. And all of a sudden, they're 2-0 at home since bringing Pudge to the games.
How about that stat? And I didn't expect to hear a mascot-related stat today.
What's Bowling Green's actual mascot? Do you know?
Bowling Green. Let me close my eyes and think. Bowling Green.
It's not a bowl of cereal, I can tell you that.
Bowling Green fighting? Is it fighting something?
I don't think so.
Bowling Green. Bowling Green. I have no idea.
The Falcons.
I would never have guessed that.
The Bowling Green Falcons.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. Hey, here's my first early lean. 3:30 Saturday, Nebraska at Maryland Diesel. Both teams 4-1. Nebraska on the road is favored by 6.5. You know, I like that 6.5-7 number. I've been almost every week this week hovering around that 6.5.
It feels like the best place to be.
I know.
You know,
I get scared to go any higher. So
you've jumped out of a plane, but you're scared to go higher than 6.5.
Correct. Maryland Diesel is the home dog. Both teams are 1-1 in the Big Ten. I like Riola a lot at Nebraska, but I also like a home dog. I really do. I love home underdogs when it comes to betting and wager. I like Maryland here. That's my first early lean, Maryland-Nebraska, 3:30 on Saturday, 6.5.
Are you,
love it, hate it?
Are you saying that there is an elite home field advantage at CQ Stadium, SECU?
No, not really. No,
I
not
wouldn't
really.
Think so either.
No, I don't think so. But but for whatever reason, home dogs do sometimes.
Hey, you get a little extra bump from the crowd. By the way, that Toledo Bowling Green game, Bowling Green are the home dogs, worth 10.5 points.
Interesting.
So, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. And also, by the way, real quick note, the Mariners-Tigers game has been delayed. It has not started yet. So that game that was supposed to start a few minutes ago has not started.
Could I interest you at all, Cole, in UCLA plus 8.5 on the road at Michigan State? Both of these teams give up a ton of points. Now UCLA's got a little spark. They're feeling good about themselves. I mean, this could be a race to 40 points.
I looked at that game, and my only worry, concern is a little bit of a hangover for UCLA. Beating James Franklin, which I guess really isn't that impressive anyways, last week, right? And maybe having a little bit of a hangover this week. I don't know. That scares me. Are they legit? Is Nico finding something? What's the spread on that?
8.5.
It's a nice spread.
8.5.
Nice spread.
The way you say that sounds nice filthy, Cole.
I like 8.5 points. And Nico, maybe they have a hangover, but maybe Nico's figured it out. Maybe Nico's got this thing rolling now.
Here's the last one that I'm considering.
I like that,
Cole,
one, by the way.
That we can talk about.
Okay.
This game, the underdog has the number 12 leading passer in college football in terms of passing yards, total passing yards, the 12th best quarterback in college football, and they are road dogs at a conference game.
SEC team?
Nope.
Think
smaller. I could just tell you.
Yeah, tell me.
It's East Carolina. It's East Carolina. Caden Hauser has just over 1,500 yards, the 12th leading quarterback in FBS.
Yeah, I'll never guess that.
Their team plays really good defense, too. East Carolina plays good defense. Tulane does as well. ECU's defense just a little more consistent than Tulane. That one's worth 6.5 points on the road.
Not bad.
If you're willing to go the Pirates down there in Louisiana.
What about this one? 4 o'clock Saturday, 5-0 Navy. Diesel on the road at Temple. Navy's a 9.5 point dog. Again, just kind of thinking, Navy's a 9.5 point favorite on the road at Temple. Thinking again along the same lines, Temple 1-0 in the American. They're a home dog. I don't know how many fans they'll have at Lincoln Financial Field in Pennsylvania, the Eagles Stadium.
Do they have to tarp off the extra or upper bowl?
I would imagine. Temple games? I would imagine so. I would imagine they don't have a huge. Huge fan base there,
Temple's
right?
Last five games. Started off the season with a win at UMass. Followed that up with a big road win at Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lost big to Oklahoma. Lost big to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And then 27-21 ball game at home against UTSA. So just kind of a
you talked me out of that
up
one.
And down.
Yeah,
up and down kind of team.
Yeah, they talked me onto that one. What about DJ Lagway continuing his little run here, taking down A&M, Diesel, A&M?
You know Florida fans can't have anything nice.
But they're a 7.5 point favorite, are the Aggies. Now, this one's in College Station, so it's going to be tough, right?
That one blows my mind that it's only a 7.5 point spread. I would think that one, a road game, would be a little more spread than that.
I just don't think Florida does it 2 weeks in a row.
No, I don't.
You know what
either.
I mean? Against Texas.
And
I like
fans,
A&M.
Oddly enough, a lot of Florida fans want them to lose. Yep. They want Billy Napier out of there so bad T-Experience, right, called in yesterday and said he wants Florida to lose because he wants Billy Napier out of town.
Do we know how good – here's an interesting question I do have, legit question. How good's Texas Tech? And the reason I ask this question, the Red Raiders are number 9 in the country. You would think, okay, they're pretty good, right?
13.5-point favorites 13. At home against Kansas.
And Kansas is not a bad team. They're 4-2.
Kansas 4-2, yeah.
2-1 in conference.
Jaden Daniels.
Who's Texas Tech beat? They beat UAPB, Pabst, something about Pabst Blue Ribbon Golden Lions.
Kent Better beer than people give it credit for.
Kent State.
Oh.
Oregon State. Horrible.
Anybody can beat Oregon State.
They beat Utah. Utah's Utah. And Houston. Yeah. So they hadn't beaten anybody.
But the point is, look at their offensive production. 35, 34, 45, 62,
Who, Texas
67.
Tech?
Yeah, Texas yeah. Tech. And look at their consistent defense. 11, 10, 14, 14, and 7.
But Jalen Daniels has had a monster year. 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, 2 picks. Are you kidding me for Jalen Daniels?
That is a really, really intriguing
sounds
game.
Like,
I wonder what the model is seeing.
Sounds like Jaden Daniels, not Jalen Daniels.
What are they seeing that the model is only giving Kansas a 25% chance to win
this
game?
So here's what I'll tell you. I Diesel typically wouldn't take or bite on a 13.5-point swing here.
Ooh.
That's a lot of points. But in terms of getting back, I mean, you hit on 13.5. You're up there.
Tiger Pal Rachel says, scared money don't make money,
Cole. She's right. She's right.
Can Tiger Pal Rachel talk you into going bigger?
100%. 100%. She could probably talk me into taking this game, right, putting it down, go ahead and writing it down. I mean, I like Jalen Daniels, man, and I don't believe Texas Tech has played anybody with a pulse.
Do you
that think 12 sucks. Sorry.
Do you think we're going to get
the
Clemson haters saying that beating UNC was only a one-time affair and they're going to slump right back to where they were? Because they are 14.5-point road favorites at Boston College.
Night game.
Are you convinced, Tolos, that Clemson is back?
Ugh.
And if you're not convinced that they're back, you might be willing to take this game because it's worth 14.5 points.
Problem
they got
is,
a good quarterback.
Boston College isn't good.
I know. I mean, maybe a good quarterback is all they got.
I also looked at Purdue-Minnesota, Diesel. Mm-hmm. I saw Minnesota in person Saturday night. They're horrible. Minnesota's awful at football. And I don't know anything about Purdue. They're 2-3, 0-10 in the Big Ten.
One of my favorite mascots, just really bad at football.
Oh, they're so bad. I mean, taking Purdue there is not a bad little play. 7.5 points.
And they decided to play outside, right? Didn't they take down their dome and they
know.
Built a new
a
outdoor
question.
Stadium?
I picked Purdue twice last year and it did not pay off. Looking at Purdue.
Purdue is like, you know, it's like a planet. It only comes around once a
I know.
Year. They come around once every five
but
or
no,
six years.
To answer your question, I'm too scared to take a BC. I am. I just don't think they're good. Diesel, they're 1-4. They're 1-4. And I know Clemson's only 2-3, but my God, the Clemson, I mean, there's no way you go back to what you were, is there? You don't lose to Boston College, do you?
You can't. You can't.
No. God. I wouldn't imagine there'd be many. By the way, a ticket right now for that game, $33. What's that tell you? $33. How far is
Why
Chestnut
Why am I buying
Hill?
Any of my tickets anywhere else? Because those tickets are cheap.
If we left Saturday morning, how far is Chestnut Hill? I'm looking right now.
A drive? I'd say it's probably like 14 hours.
Good God, are you serious?
Isn't that far? My sister does it all the time. My sister's husband is from Boston. Well, Worcester. He's from Worcester, nearby.
Is Chestnut Hill a real place?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I typed it in and it's not.
It sounds like the name of a horse track.
Well, I'm typing it in and it's not showing. Oh, it's in Mass. Okay, I got it. You're right. It's 14 hours. That's a long way. Yeah, I wouldn't go up there. No.
Is that what's the longest you've ever driven for a football game?
Oh, for a football game? Yeah. I don't know. I've driven to Dallas many times, but not for a football game.
I've driven to Michigan twice.
That's a long way. Oh, I guess Ohio State Saturday is the longest.
Yeah, well.
What about South Carolina plus 9.5, baby?
Ooh.
What about the Gamecocks? Are you kidding me? Let's do it. Let's go out on a limb here at LSU.
Well, we're going to have a chance to talk about it.
Let's do it. Let's talk Jack Veltri. Big Gamecock news earlier today with a guy entering the portal. Plus, we'll talk Gamecocks and LSU with Jack Veltri of Gamecock Central next.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Every single Tuesday at this time, we talk Gamecocks with Jack Veltri of Gamecock Central. If you haven't done so, make sure you go give Jack a follow, check out his work, retweet his stuff, and let him know you heard him right here on The Fan Upstate. Jack, we're going to get into a lot in this interview, especially with the Gamecocks making the trip to Baton Rouge on Saturday. But let's start with the Gamecocks and their losses. Losing a tight end from the program, Michael Smith has left the Gamecocks football team with the intentions to redshirt and later enter the transfer portal. He confirmed on Tuesday. What does not only this mean for the Gamecocks, but your reaction to this story, Jack?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, Michael is, you know, a very, you know, good tight end. I mean, a four-star kid coming out of high school from Savannah, and he had some moments last year. He had a couple big catches, had a touchdown, I believe, against Missouri, and had some nice moments. But so far this year, only two catches all season. Hasn't probably played as much as, you know, him or anyone thought he would initially. And, you know, I don't know if that's the reason, but again, played in four games. You know, Shane Beamer notably does not let players stick around and redshirt through the end of the year, or, you know, hit the portal at the end of the year after, you know, playing in four games already. So that's something that we saw with Bengali Kamara last year, who transferred in, a linebacker, and now we're seeing it again with Michael Smith. And it's a bit of a loss, but at the end of the day, he wasn't your most productive tight end so far this year, and I think you'll be okay moving forward.
Find him on Twitter at Jack T. Veltri, V-E-L-T-R-I. Jack, I asked one of our contemporaries and Grayson Mann over at TigerNet a few weeks ago if Clemson was heading into the most needed bye week in college football. I turned this around on you and ask if you think South Carolina was kind of hit with an unfortunate bye after absolutely routing Kentucky. You know, how needed was that bye, and do you think it might be a tiny bit of a momentum killer going into this LSU game?
Yes and no. I think it came at a good time because Carolina, you know, obviously has this grueling five-game stretch coming up, and I think you need a little bit of rest to recover, get the injuries settled and stuff, and also kind of, you know, go over what went wrong in the first few games of the season. Look, Kentucky was a much better performance, but at the end of the day, it was just one game, and it was against, you know, what many consider to be one of the worst teams in the SEC, if not the worst team in the conference. But I think for South Carolina, it did come at a good time. Would you have liked to play the following week right away? Absolutely. But we know what the schedule is, and we know how tough it's going to be over these next few weeks. Hopefully the guys have been getting healthy. Hopefully they've had more time to kind of look back at what hasn't gone well the past few weeks and what has gone well to try and put together the best product on the field come Saturday.
Jack, the follow-up to my first question, going back to Michael Smith leaving the program, no interest from Lamont Paris? I mean, I thought tight ends switched to basketball. Is that not right?
Yeah, I mean, we have not seen that here in a little bit, I don't think. You know, not everyone can be wasn't it like Jimmy Graham at Miami or something?
And Clemson's Ian Sheflin, right?
That's right. Ian Sheflin, who could forget? So.
Jack, you know, some people might push back on the question I'm about to ask you and say that it's unfair, but I think that it is fair. Comparing Lenora Sellers and Garrett Nussmeier, they're same conference, both high-profile players, both looked at as possible first-round draft picks going into next season. Neither one of them really at this point of the season has, like, eye-popping stats so far, but the one that stands out to me is that Nussmeier has attempted 171 passes to Lenora Sellers, just 87, and that's surprising to me, given that Sellers actually has a higher completion percentage than Garrett Nussmeier. Is it just
and Garrett Riley too.
Is it just that, like, planned, you know, we're stubborn about running the football, or do you think that, you know, this team is still kind of testing and figuring out what they're good at?
I think they're kind of still figuring out what they're overall best at. And, you know, Shane Beamer was asked a lot today about the offense and kind of, you know, I even asked him, like, what is this? What do you feel like the offensive identity is? And simply put, they need to run the football better. I think they need to be able to get that going to be able to. You're not going to be always balanced on offense. That'll change game to game. And Shane felt that way when explaining it today, too. But getting the run game going is going to be huge. And part of that is continuing to see more production out of Lenora Sellers in the ground game. Obviously, against Kentucky, was really efficient in the ground game with nearly, you know, when you take out the sacks, nearly 100 yards on offense on the ground. But I think the fact that he hasn't thrown the ball as much, to the eye, it's probably not that surprising considering the quarterback that he can be as a dual threat. When you think of Garrett Nussmeier, I think you feel like he's much more of a pocket passer compared to Lenore's. I think they're two totally different quarterbacks in that respect, so it's not surprising. But I think we have seen South Carolina try to throw the ball more. I think it's just sometimes the play breaks down, or, you know, the situation calls for something different to happen than what the initial play might be.
Jack, how have your thoughts on LSU changed from the preseason to watching them beat Clemson in the opener to now?
So, I'm sorry, what was it again?
How have your thoughts on LSU changed just from, like, your perception of them preseason, then seeing them beat Clemson, and you know, what looks like now maybe not the most impressive win, and then, you know, the last couple of weeks, a tough loss to Ole Miss. How have your thoughts changed on LSU?
I'm a little surprised with the way they played this year. I personally thought that they were going to be much better, and they still can be. I mean, you never know, man. I mean, this could be the weekend where it just really clicks for them. I thought they were going to be better defensively this year, and they have been. I think that has certainly been the case. Offensively, I'm a little surprised. Like, I looked at Nussmeier's numbers the other day. I mean, guys, he has not thrown for over 300 yards in a game yet this season.
Mm.
Now, I know he's been playing some tough defenses and stuff, but this is Garrett Nussmeier we're talking about. This is the guy that, even myself, I picked him to be first-team All-SEC in the preseason over Lenore Sellers. I thought he was going to be that good. Hasn't really lived up to that, Billy. He hasn't been bad. Hasn't been amazing like I thought he would be. So, you know, I think LSU, the run game kind of is hit or miss. Wasn't good last week, and I know Caden Durham being down did not help. But, you know, I think with LSU, they're good so far. I know they have the loss to Ole Miss, but I've expected them to be better, and they always could be. A lot of time left in the season, especially this weekend with South Carolina coming up. But, yeah, definitely not living up to the expectations I think people had for them so far in the preseason.
Jack, what do you make of this story that John Mateer is pushing to make his return for Oklahoma against Texas and sort of the gamesmanship that we're seeing in the SEC football injury reports, a game that, you know, we've seen Shane Beamer play a little bit this season already?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm not surprised that Mateer, I think it's a little bit soon for him to be coming back since this was supposed to be like a month-long injury. But again, if the surgery went well, if he's feeling good, if he's, I don't know what the rehab process looks like up there in Norman, but if he's moving along smoothly and stuff and he feels ready to go for this weekend, then by all means, go for it. But, you know, honestly, either way, even if he wasn't playing this weekend, I figured he'd probably be ready to go for next week just because that's how things roll around here at South Carolina, where it's just that timing of Mateer being ready to play for South Carolina week. So, look, even if he doesn't play this weekend, he'll be probably ready to go for Carolina. That's just the expectation I have, and that's probably the way it should be, considering if you want to beat the best, you got to play against the best.
Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central, joining us right here on the Fan Upstate Tolos. If you have a question, if you're a Gamecock fan and have a question for Jack, you can send it in on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line, 844-326-3663. Jack, when you look at the matchups within the matchup, the games within the game on Saturday night, as you start kind of looking ahead to Saturday and trying to gather your thoughts on who you're going to pick and who you think's going to win and by how much, what matchup within the matchup intrigues you the most in Saturday's game with South Carolina and LSU?
Very good question. I think the big thing in this game is ultimately going to be, it's not so much a defense versus offense type of thing. I actually think it's simply just who's going to run the football better in this game. I think that matters a lot on Saturday, Cole, because if you're South Carolina and you can find a way to get this run game going, Shane has talked about it plenty of times. Like, if Carolina figures out how to get that run game moving the way they want to, not just Lenore's, but the running backs you brought in and having that room too, it's going to be different, I think, for this offense and the way they are able to be they're able to finally be completely productive on offense. Same time, I think the same applies for LSU, where obviously they have Caden Durham, they have, you know, some running backs in that room that can be good, but obviously we just have not seen it so far this year consistently. So I think that's probably one of the bigger matchups this weekend, is just on paper, you know, these two running back rooms have kind of struggled this year. Which one's going to be better on Saturday, and how does that impact the way these offenses are either able to be one-dimensional or two-dimensional?
Most likely to turn it around in year two, Jack. Bill Belichick or Paul Maneri?
Ooh, I'm going to be honest. You know, we just spoke with Paul yesterday as South Carolina gets ready to start fall baseball practice. I'm going to say Paul Maneri, and I'll give a quick reason why. Number one, the whole Belichick thing out in Chapel Hill has been an absolute disaster. I don't know if you guys saw it today, but that Hulu documentary with UNC just got canceled. So I can't imagine that's too good. I think that's going to be a real mess there. It does feel similar to what happened this year with the baseball program here at USC. But the main thing with Maneri is they brought in a lot of new players. I think this is a much more talented team on paper compared to what they had this past season. Maneri, I feel like, has kind of learned or accepted the fact that he was wrong about some things last year and trying to course correct a little bit. And so he's taking a different approach to how he's going to operate this fall. Some of the things that he, you know, spoke about yesterday, just how he kind of underestimated, you know, some of the leadership and whatnot on the team and how players would react with their attitudes and whatnot. So I think overall things are going to be better for the baseball program in year two compared to, I mean, shoot, who even knows if Bill's going to last another year out at UNC?
Jack, you know, when you look at Saturday, man, I've talked to a few Gamecock fans who are friends of mine, and it seems to be, and tell me what your thoughts are on this, it seems to be like South Carolina, the fans are more concerned by what they can't do rather than being concerned and scared by what LSU can do. Do you see, like, one significant part of this LSU team that just scares you, or would you agree with a lot of the fans that they're not picking the Gamecocks because they're more worried about what they can't do?
That's an interesting question, Cole. I think the defense is probably what probably scares you the most, and Harold Perkins being back, that's definitely a big upgrade for them, having him back on defense this season. I mean, look, it's going to be a challenge facing that defense. Blake Baker, like I said, does a really great job as the defensive coordinator there. Excuse me. But I think the main thing for South Carolina is, like I said before, can they establish the run in this game? And if they can, that's going to make such a big difference on Saturday, just because I think we're continuing to see Lenore's progress. And I really do think this could be a weekend where we saw what he did against this LSU team last year before getting hurt. I know it's at night. I know it's in Baton Rouge, different story. But big players show up in big moments. Maybe this is the weekend that happens.
You know, Jack, I can't even say this facetiously with a straight face. Is South Carolina ducking Miami? Is that why we're seeing this change in the scheduling? But no, serious question. Obviously, we know the ACC is going to 9 games, and that kind of hampers things with South Carolina already having that out-of-conference matchup against Clemson. Do you still want to see them reschedule this matchup in the future, and do you believe there's any chance that that happens?
I don't see it happen. Personally, I don't. I think the trend is already in place to where – and Shane's talked about it many times now, where if the other teams in this conference aren't going to, you know, if they're only playing the 9 conference games and then the 1 Power 4 non-conference game against whoever it may be, and that's it, then there's no reason for South Carolina to go out there, play 9 conference games, Clemson, and a bonus Power 4 game. It just doesn't make much sense because at the end of the day, you know, teams are, you know, we saw it happen with the college football playoff rankings last year. You know, you are ultimately judged on, you know, how many losses you have and what your record is. And if South Carolina, let's say hypothetically next year, they went 9-3 and, oh, one of those losses was to Miami, you're probably kicking yourself thinking, man, why did we continue with this game when we could have scheduled you already have Towson on the schedule next year, but you could have scheduled like a South Carolina State or a Charlotte or one of those random teams in your state, and you're that 10-2, you're making the college football playoff next year, no questions asked. So I think from that standpoint, it just makes a lot of sense to keep it with Clemson, keep it with the 9 conference games, and the other two schedule whoever you want.
Is it the most logical thing in your mind to schedule bottom end group of 5 teams? You can't schedule multiple FCSs because they don't count towards eligibility, but would now are you saying that they definitely need to schedule bottom end Power 5 or a group of 5?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, for instance, I think it's in 2 years they're scheduling, I think they got App State on the schedule. That's kind of the teams I would look at as like, okay, like you get your FCS team on there for sure with Towson coming in. Schedule more teams like that, because at the end of the day, you don't want to like not challenge yourself. But at the same time, you want to put a team out. You want to go up against a team that is going to challenge you a little bit, but you're going to win the game, like a Charlotte or a App State. One of those teams around here that, you know, group of 5 that you can go out there, you know you're going to beat. But it's like, okay, like you have to play your best football to win these games.
I don't know, man. Scheduling App State, scheduling the Citadel hadn't gone well for South Carolina in the past.
Yeah, you know, it's not always hasn't always been pretty, for sure.
Jack, the most important question we could ask you before we let you go, are you going to find time to get a little gumbo, a little jambalaya, something on the flavor this weekend down in Louisiana?
Man, I got to, you know, we get in Friday. We're flying into freaking Mobile, which is going to be a pain because flights were expensive getting into New Orleans. Flying into Mobile, driving 3 hours from there to Baton Rouge. I don't know. I mean, look, I would hope so. I would hope I get some of the I don't know what Louisiana's got down there, but I will definitely be I'm hoping to find some good food down there. So
I don't know. I don't know if Cafe Du Monde is only in New Orleans or if they have different locations or not. I don't know about that. But, Jack, hope you do. Baton Rouge should be a lot of fun. And get us some jambalaya. Have some for us if you do. As always, we appreciate you, man.
Nah, thanks so much, fellas. Always appreciate it.
Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central. Would you rather, if you had to choose, Diesel, between the two, you get $1 million in New Orleans or $1 million in Baton Rouge? Which one are you taking?
I think
that's tough, isn't it? Because you have Cafe Du Monde downtown New Orleans.
Well, New Orleans, it's a Creole versus Cajun a little bit. Man, that's a tough call.
That's tough.
That's a tough call. I'm very partial to New Orleans. I got a lot of family down in New Orleans.
Yeah,
go get a good po' boy.
Yeah, it'd be good. It's tough. It's a tough question.
You ever had a po' boy?
I have. Oh, yeah. Love
delicious.
Them. Love them.
When we come back, Cole, let's do a little investigative work and try to figure out, just based on the audio, what does Mike McDaniel actually say?
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Saying in this clip. We'll talk about it next. You know, I feel like trying to decipher what Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel is saying is kind of like trying to listen to an excited toddler tell you something.
Oh.
Except he's not excited. He's sad. He's sad.
He used to be excited, though.
He used to be excited, now he's sad, Mike. And I know he's a sad toddler, but he still doesn't put his words together in a way that makes any sense. Let's try to make some sense and figure out what Mike McDaniel is saying here in this clip, this was after the loss to the Carolina Panthers. And, well, let's just play the audio, okay. See if we can figure it out.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was. And, you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
What? Did you cut that up?
No, that's
the real audio.
He was just frustrated as I was.
I have to hear that like six times. Can you play it one more time?
Yeah.
He was really frustrated at the you know, just like he's as I was, and
that's not real.
You know, we talked about real. The challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers.
That's real audio.
Yeah, I'll play it for you one more time. Oh. See if we can figure out what he said.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers.
He was frustrated at the, you know what I mean. Mike, this guy's getting fired. There is no way, unless they beat the Chargers this weekend, that Mike McDaniel keeps his job.
And
right?
I don't think that's going to happen. I know the Chargers are banged up, mm-hmm. pretty banged up, but I still think they'll figure out a way. They lost last week, the Commanders. I think they'll bounce back. So right now, what are they? The Miami Dolphins, let's see here. When you talk about – but because, by the way, I do agree that I think they lost their first three. They won against New York, who's 0-5. I mean, it was a six-point win.
Big deal.
They have the Chargers, Browns. Oh, man. They might – Diesel, they might – let's see here. Cleveland, New Orleans, New York. They play New York again. Here's the problem. You're right. He is going to get fired. Right now, here's the schedule remaining. Chargers, loss. Browns, probably a loss. Dillon Gabriel, QB1. Falcons, meh. Ravens, meh, because they're no good. Bills, loss. Commanders, loss. Saints, meh. Jets, man, there's four winnable games there, Diesel. Steelers, Bengals, Bucks, Patriots. That's it. Yeah, there's a good chance they win four or five games this year, and they're lucky they beat the pitiful Jets. I think you're right. I think McDaniels is getting canned.
I had to ask Gronk. This is the first time I've ever grokked.
Gronkowski?
No, not Gronk. Grok. I had to ask Gronk what McDaniel was actually talking about in this clip. I said, hey, I need some context because I can't understand him. It says, in this clip from his October 6th press conference, that would be yesterday, Mike McDaniel describes a post-loss conversation with Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. They shared frustration over the team's 1-4 start and discussed the urgent challenge of preparing for the upcoming game against the Chargers. That's what Gronk was able to get out of Mike.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
Fire his ass.
He looked so good pathetic, God. Man. I'll tell you what. You remember when he got hired. They were, you know, first couple of years, Mike McDaniel was really bouncy, right? Everybody thought he was super smart. He was this nerd with all these. Look, that whole thing, that script has flipped. I mean, that guy, he looks as pitiful as a wet dog that just got out of a thunderstorm trying to get back in the house to dry off, Diesel. He looks down. He looks depressed. He can't get his words, you know, right.
I've given a lot of teams a hard time for that wave of hiring young head coaches.
Yeah,
most of them have fallen by the wayside. Think about it: Cliff Kingsbury, Mike McDaniel. I mean, Sean McVay still doing okay.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Outside of that, most of the young coaches, and I'm talking about those guys who are in their 30s and early 40s, they're not doing so well.
Cornchip says, I speak fluent toddler, and I couldn't even get what he was saying. You're right, Cornchip. Diesel, you and I in the very next segment are being tasked by the people who run the NFL draft. I know April is still a few months away. However, now that we are, you said it earlier, heading into week six, is that right, of college football?
Seven.
Heading into week seven, we have seen some good quarterback play. We have seen some not-so-good quarterback play. We're in charge of ranking best to worst, top 10, top 5, best quarterbacks for the NFL draft, Tolos. We also need your help. We do that. And boy, where's Manning? Huh. Where's Klubnik? Huh. Where's all these quarterbacks that were preseason hyped? Top 3, where are they? We'll talk about it next.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.